Now, what clinical trial data do we have available right now for nab-paclitaxel, including the data that you're about to present at ASCO?
What we know about nab-paclitaxel is that whether you can give it on an every 3-week schedule, you can give it on a weekly schedule, it seems to have a response rate that's at least as good as any other single agent with a toxicity profile that's really devoid of a hypersensitivity reaction, seems to have less myelosuppression. It isn't necessarily any less neurotoxic, but the neurotoxicity that you get from this agent seems to rebound much quicker than the typical neuropathic effects of the parent compounds of docetaxel or paclitaxel, and that may be related to the solvency issue that we briefly mentioned before. We have done a phase 1 trial that was presented at the San Antonio meetings, actually, that combined Abraxane with carboplatin on either an every 3-week basis or a weekly basis on either a day 1 every 21-day schedule or a day 1, 8, and 15 every 28 days. And basically, as one would expect, you can give this agent very easily on various schedules of Abraxane with carboplatinum, and it looks to be very well tolerated. It's convenient and so on and so forth. Actually, in our phase 1 trial, we saw a number of interesting responses in refractory small cell and pancreatic cancer, in lung cancer, non-small cell, and a few other tumors that are escaping me right now. But we were impressed in our phase 1 with the broad spectrum of tumor activity. What we're doing subsequent to our phase 1 is actually looking at a first-line trial in extensive stage small cell lung cancer based upon some of the responses we saw in refractory disease. When we were doing our phase 1, there was kind of an interesting trial being done outside of the United States, which took carboplatin at a fixed dose of AUC of 6 every 3 weeks and gave 4 different cohorts of Abraxane dosed from, I think it was 225 up to 340 in the 4 different cohorts. The design of the trial was simply to enter 25 patients in each cohort. It was really looking at a combination of toxicity relationships as well as response. And this is the data that we'll be presenting at ASCO. What I can say about what we know about that data thus far is that there's clearly activity that rivals any other platinum-based doublet. The toxicity profiles seem to be very encouraging from that point of view. And we need to know a little bit about the survival experience of these patients, which we don't quite know, but we should have by the time we make our ASCO presentation. And so that's kind of where we are in non-small cell lung cancer right now.
Of course, this agent has been available to treat breast cancer, and two of the potential advantages that you mentioned were shorter infusion time and the lack of pre-medication. How does that play out specifically related to its use both in the advanced disease setting, in the stage 3, and even the adjuvant setting, theoretically in the future as it relates to lung cancer?
My personal view is that this agent has a bright future, as I would say. If the breast data were to be projected on other tumors, and it looks like this NAB formulation does deliver the active cytotoxic to the tumor better, and it is a more potent cytotoxic effect, if you will, then that's obviously coupled with a ease of convenience, less toxicity, no premedication package, is really going to change how we prioritize first-line treatment regimens. I could see this becoming kind of the standard of care in that treatment only because of all the things that we've mentioned. The other issue is that we're certainly kind of transitioning from basic cytotoxic paradigms to various targeted approaches. And you'd like to use a platform that is the least toxic because obviously as you bring in targeted agents, there are going to be other toxicities that you have to be aware of. And if you can create a less cytotoxic platform, I think that that's worthwhile.